Okay, hello everybody. It's Terry Somerville, and great to be back here to share with you. As I'm recording this, I just got back a couple of days ago from the beautiful island of Bermuda. That's right. Bermuda is part of the islands of the Caribbean, although if you look on a map, you'll see it's actually quite far north. It's actually straight due east of North Carolina, but it's out there in the Gulf Stream, so it's getting the same beautiful weather as the Caribbean for half the year anyway, and it has that incredible turquoise water and reefs and fish and all that awesome stuff. Well, and Bermuda is quite a small place. I was actually a pastor there about 23 years ago, and Karen and I and our two girls lived there. We were blessed, man. We enjoyed being there so much. God did awesome things, and I pastored two churches, the Grace Methodist Church and the Cobbs Hill Methodist Church in Bermuda. And at that time, they were part of the United Church of Canada, no longer part of it. Anyway, they were too strongly evangelical, and after we were done, charismatic churches experiencing the power and filling of the Holy Spirit. And we had a wonderful time. In fact, God sort of had to drag me kicking and screaming back to Canada. I did not want to leave. God was doing so many things that it was powerful and beautiful, but God showed us in an unmistakably clear way that we were to leave there and come to Campbell River. No way in the world I was going to do that. The ministry was being successful. We loved being there. We had a waterfront house. You know, I'm just totally enthralled and love tropical waters, and I was into fishing and boating and diving and you know, everything that I loved there. God was working with great power in the church. People got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Healings were happening. I mean, everything was happening down there, but God brought us back here. So anyway, this past week and a half, as I'm recording this anyway, we had my son and I, Adam, had the opportunity to go back to Bermuda. Karen's working, so she couldn't come. Maybe another time. But Adam came with me. Adam is right now being the youth minister up at Christian Life Fellowship on Muircroft Road. And we went back, and they had the 186th anniversary of the Cobbs Hill Methodist Church. And I want to tell you a bit of that story as we go forward. And it's pretty incredible. You know, you think about how long it was ago that these churches were established, but I'll tell you what, there was a move of God around that is just so incredible. So anyway, it was cool. It was great to be there. We rekindled good relationships with people. They have such an awesome, loving congregation. I was able to spend time ministering the good things of God, the holiness, the righteousness of the Lord, how God, through Christ, not only forgives our sin, but we'll purify our hearts in those places in our life that seem to dog us and we struggle with as Christians. He will purify those things because he died for all those things. And then also sharing about the mighty love anointing of the Lord, where the same love the Father put in Christ could be put in us. I was sharing all that stuff. We saw blessing. We saw some healings. I mean, there's just good stuff that went on down there as we were down in Bermuda. You know what? We went there. It's late November. As I'm recording this, but we went there in November, and the weather there is not like summertime. It shifts to the more wintry patterns with a chill and wind and rain and all that. We got some of that. Things chill off for the winter down in Bermuda. If you go down farther south, if you go down to Bahamas, Bermuda's like, it's only about 800 miles from Nova Scotia, 670 miles from North Carolina, and more than 800 down to Miami and Bahamas. So it's quite north. So it gets that chillier weather. And if you ever think of a holiday to Bermuda for some reason, don't do it, you know, in November or later. Do it in summertime. Anyway, I want to, you know, share this because amazing things took place there. And Cobbs Hill Methodist Church in particular has an amazing history. And I do want to share this because it's encouraging to us to listen to what God did back then. And you think about it, you know, the early 1800s, late 1700s, this is a colony actually established as a business and a colony. It was the British bridge area between Nova Scotia, British Canada then, wasn't Canada at all, and then jumping around the United States. It was, you know, a stop off on the way down to the Caribbean. And remember, it wasn't that long before 1776. So you're looking at 25, 30 years before the Americans broke away. They had the Revolutionary War with Britain. And now Britain has their Navy base there at Bermuda. Bermuda, way out there, second most isolated island in the world. You know, you're thinking Bermuda Triangle, aren't you? Well, one of the reasons was it's so isolated and it's got such a barrier of reefs around it that sailing ships could sail into the reefs and sink and not even see the island. That's right. And they know, for example, on the chart I had when I had my boat there, compasses do not work correctly around the island. They go weird. They go wacky because it's a seamount, a volcanic seamount, and there's lots of iron ore in the volcano part. And so compasses don't behave right. Hence, a lot of the stories of Bermuda Triangle. But eventually, Portuguese first wrecked there, Spanish, and then British settled. They were well established for 100 or more years, a couple hundred years. And the Methodists, with John Wesley in England, there was quite a revival went on in the 1700s. Many people came to Christ and dedicated themselves to God and living a holy life. And that's the sort of setting for all of this. At the same time, we know there was slavery, massive slavery in the Caribbean islands and in southern United States and Britain, and slaves being brought from Africa, bought. You know, the Africans would enslave each other, and so some Africans would sell other Africans, other tribes, to the British, and they would take these captives out and bring them to Jamaica and places like that and enslave them, and even into America and up ultimately into Bermuda. And so into the mix of this came people like John Wesley preaching the gospel, but also preaching holiness of life, that Christ not only died to forgive your sin so you can be reestablished in a relationship to God, but also to purify your heart so that old junk that dogs you, even as a Christian, as you give it over to God and recognize and believe that Christ died for it, he cleanses you. He does. He does. So the story of Cobbs Hill Methodist Church, where I went, was that in the late 1700s, early 1800s, a man named John Stevenson went to the island of Bermuda. Now, he's an Irishman, a part of the British Empire, and he goes to Bermuda, and right off the bat, he's not having a good time. And I'll tell you why. First of all, there had been a rebellion in Ireland against Britain, so this John Stevenson was kind of suspicious, to say the least. They didn't trust him there. Second reason they didn't particularly want him there was because the Methodists were working hard in England, particularly in Parliament, to abolish slavery. And the slave trade eventually was abolished, and ultimately, decades later, owning a slave was abolished. But getting to Bermuda, here's a man who's coming to preach Jesus Christ, and he's preaching to the blacks, to the slaves. Yep, they don't like it because they're thinking he might be fostering a rebellion. He's dragged in and questioned many times, and he says no, he's calling them to live a holy life. Third thing that he did in his preaching was he's preaching holiness, righteousness. And one of the big problems in Bermuda back in around early 1800s was, like it is right today, immorality. Big time immorality. I mean, not just like we have, but in fact, generation after generation of slave women being treated like the private harem of the slave owner kind of thing. So many children of children of children of children were born as a result of that. And so here comes this guy, John Stevenson, to Bermuda preaching this. Well, they didn't like him doing that. Ultimately, the legislature in Bermuda decided they'd pass a law that said only Anglicans and Presbyterians can preach to black people in Bermuda. And of course, pretty soon out, John Stevenson was caught, and him and the person who had him in his house were both jailed. And the fine, I can't remember what it was a lot. It's like, it might have been 50 pounds. I don't know. But I mean, huge, 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 huge pile of money. And 6 months in prison. I mean, be like getting fined $10,000 or something now. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Or 6 months in jail. And John Stevenson is jailed for 6 months for preaching the gospel. Well, they said, you know what, we'll let you out if you go home. And he wouldn't. And in fact, on the jail cell floor, he wrote, I was imprisoned here for 6 months because I was preaching the gospel to the black slaves. So on this trip to Bermuda, I stood there in front of the jail cell bars, and they put them up with a plaque and everything else. And I'll try to get this on the website so you can see it. And I held the bars where John Stevenson would stand inside his cell as crowds of black people gathered outside, and he preached to them, and they were getting saved, set free, dedicating their life to Christ, living a holy life as they listened to John Stevenson in the prison preaching to them. Well, after 6 months, he was free, and he went back home. And so now there is a class of believers, black slaves, who are Methodists in Bermuda. They're going over to the Presbyterian Church because there's no Methodism there. But ultimately, in comes another guy, a slave named Edward Fraser, early like 1820, something like that. And he comes. He actually looks like he's almost like a white man because he was 1/16th part African. And generation after generation after generation, his forebears, actually fathers, were the white men who were the slave owners. Can you believe that? And he comes and he's preaching to this group, this class, they call it, winning cons, and they're maturing in the faith and very strong. And they appeal to government in the early 1820s. And what happens is they're given a piece of land, and the slaves go and begin to quarry out the stone so that they can build this little Methodist chapel. And so this chapel called Cobbs Hill Methodist Church was ultimately built in 1827. And there we go. That is the first Methodist church there with a steeple, in fact. And guess what? That's the church that I pastored. Some of the people who are members in that church are actually descendants of the ones that started it. And there we go. So I was there preaching at the 186th anniversary. So great cost, personal cost, given over to lead people to Christ, particularly the slaves, and then ultimately they had their freedom. Now, what I wanted to say as I close this message out, though, and what I shared in the meetings in Bermuda was the gospel of Christ, what the Methodists said and preached very particularly was Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. It's not just being forgiven, but more than that, they were saying that the things that go on in our heart can be laid on the altar. Christ paid for them too, so that we might have a free heart, that you might know that you know that you know that your heart has been set free. Not simply that God says you're forgiven, you're my child, but that you might be free. And this is what Methodism was always about. And some of that flavor has been lost over the years, but that's what I was sharing when I was in Bermuda, teaching and sharing, and it was a blessing and it was new to them. We saw other things happen. We prayed for people. Some were healed and so on. It's been a great time to be down there. And I just wanted to share a bit of the history with you about that church. Wow, what have I got to say to you? I'd say the same thing that we were saying there. Whatever it is in your life and in your heart where you have a need for cleansing and purity, Jesus Christ paid the price. And you come to him and you give it all over to him in the altar and say, Lord, you paid for this too. Total surrender. If you're trying to battle your way into perfection for your own heart, doing it yourself, working hard, trying to make it right, well, you're missing the grace of God on that one. As we totally consecrate our heart and lives, he does cleanse and purify. And people were experiencing a touch of the power and presence of God doing that while we were there. It was just awesome. What a good time. So I thought I'd share a bit about that with you from our trip down there in Bermuda. Good to be home. And God's doing great things in both places.